So, Alice and I were looking at books to study together, and we came across, well, we didn't come across, we thought about doing Romans, we got a workbook, and I saw a lot of similarities in my own life in that, and so we started to hopefully start the study here soon. But our passage today is Romans 12, 1 and 2, which reads, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, and that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for, like Paul said, the smiling faces back at me. Father, I pray that you would use my garbled speech and my weaknesses and limitations to work, to speak into the lives of the people that are here. Father, we thank you for the freedom to come here. We thank you that you've called us as your Christians, and we need to understand that there's a lot more than just sitting in the pew. Father, we ask now that you would go with us and that you would help my thoughts to be clear. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi. So today's message, as we read, is Romans 12, 1 and 2. The book of Romans is a very important book. It's a very significant book. It's the prominent in the development of Christians of how we believe today. Also, the chain of scripture we use, even discussing known as the road, salvation, even known as Romans Road, comes from this book. We know that Romans was written by Paul and that it was written to the church in Rome. He wrote the letter in preparation for his visit. The theme for Romans is in 1, verses 16 and 17. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'But the righteous man shall live by faith.'" We are also able to see the book of Romans has to do with redemption. But as we get through the book, we can also see that it has to do with peace. The author that Alice and I will be studying, or wrote the book we're looking at, also says that that it was redemptive peace is one of the common themes for Romans. Another thing that people look at is that another key verse or theme to this book would be Romans 12, 1 and 2. We see the book of Romans is broken up into doctrine and application. So in saying that, we look to today's verse with the word therefore in there, we have to go back one verse. So we look back to Romans 11:36, which reads, "For him and through him and to him all things, to him be the glory forever. Amen." In this verse, tells us that God is the source, that God gives us everything, and to his glory is the end result in which we should strive for. He is the author, the creator, and sustainer of all life. This is for all men. Either in Romans, we see that God is gracious and the mercy and to all the people, Jew and Gentile. Like we said, Paul started with the word therefore. This is very significant. Means for this reason or because of this. With that, we read 11:36. We know that God is the how, the why, and the who of our fellowship. As we discussed in the beginning, in the first 11 chapters of Romans, Paul is teaching about doctrine In the next chapters, Paul is writing the practical applications of those doctrines. As believers in Christ, these doctrines require a response. With the use of therefore, we see Paul turn our attention to the application and response of those doctrines and the mercies that God has given us. Therefore also is applying a strength of strong encouragement. The next phrase we read is brethren or brothers and sisters. Paul's writing to the church in Rome with the emphasis on everyone. The church primarily was Gentile, and they weren't necessarily doing exactly what God wanted them to do. This is a call for dedication of our lives and bodies to Christ. The next phrase is the mercies of God. The meaning of mercy here is withholding righteous judgment and penalty that we are due. Mercies have been laid out in the first 11 chapters. Romans 12:1 brings together some of those mercies with the statement, in view of God's mercies. Some of the mercies listed are, we are justified by faith. Our sins have been forgiven through the atonement of Christ. God works in all things together for our good, and God calls his people to himself, you and I. I know that he has placed personal mercies in my life, too many to count, but such things as the people he's brought into my life, the situations that he have been in, moving my family to Fairview. Under the law, a sacrifice requires death and shedding of blood. He became our sacrificial lamb. We need God's mercies to be rescued from sin and death. God spared us of a life of punishment and death into a life with him through his death and resurrection. Next part of the verse is present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. We read in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Again, there's that word, therefore. We need to respond to the sacrifices and mercies of God. The mercies God has given us with our bodies and our minds. As a response to the mercies and what God has done for us, we are to be living sacrifices for him. This includes our bodies and our very lives. We see the comparison to the scripture prior to Christ's death and resurrection. In the culture of the Mosaic law, sacrifices was done at a temple or an altar, and it required death and shedding of blood. Since Christ's death is at the cross, his resurrection, we called to be living sacrifices for God. We are to present our bodies as holy, pleasing sacrifice. In my devotional book, Scott McKnight makes this statement. We have a tendency to define holy with half the meaning. Many will say holy means separate from a common life, that it is true, that is true. But the sacrifice of your body only becomes holy because it is devoted to, offered to the God who is holy, bringing our bodies to the circle of divine holiness. We also read in Romans 6:12-13, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you may obey its lusts. And do not go in presenting the body, members of your body, to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from dead, and the members as instruments in the righteousness of God. Therefore, do not let... Oh, sorry, I wrote it down. With Paul starting the message with therefore again, we need to look at the previous verse. which would be verse 11. And in it reads, "Even so, consider yourself dead to sin, but alive in Christ Jesus." Our obedience and sacrifice is in response to His mercy. We see that holy, and acceptable must be characteristics of our living sacrifice. God's mercy should be our motivation to live for Him. As we mentioned, a sacrifice requires death. Part of the way we live our God is to die to ourselves. This means to dying to our sinful nature, our passions, our desires, etc. Next, we finish in verse 1 with the phrase, which is our spiritual service of worship. Spiritual worship is living in obedience and sacrifice. It means using every means to worship Him. But there must be a spiritual part of our worship. We read in John 4:24, we read, God is spirit, and His worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. This must be our response to God, response to His mercy, love, and sacrifice. We are to live and show God's love to those around us. As an act of worship, we are called to give back to God what He has given us. We are giving Him back our very eternal life that He has given to us. This means everything we say, even our lives we live, we do for the kingdom of God. With what we have been learning in the mercies He's given us, the love and sacrifice He's done for us, we are to respond with offering our bodies holy and pleasing to God. He died for us, so we need to live for Him. In verse 2, the phrase is, we do not conform to the pattern of this world, which means simply meaning to conform is act according to or obedient to the rule or norm. In verse 2, we see how of what we learned in verse 1. We see is the how of what we learned in verse 1, sorry. My Bible's notes read, do not live according to the style or manner of this present age. We need to understand what they meant by world. The world is anti-Christ. It is a total opposite the way we are to live and act. We also read in 1 John 2:15 and 17, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If one loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, it is not from the Father, but of the world. The world is passing away, and so is its lusts. But one who does the will of God will live forever. This makes me, and I don't know why this came to mind, but this makes me think of when they cook frogs. They put them in cool water and gradually warm the water up so that they could feel that they don't feel the temperature changes and don't jump out. If they put it in hot water right away, they're jumping, they're gone. This is a funny example, but it gives us an example of how we are in the world that we live in. We gradually let more and more of the world into our lives. Having said this, we need to answer another statement that has been said multiple times, and that is, that we are to be in the world, but not of the world. But how can we do that? First, we need to look at the word, but. It is as a contrast word. This means not conforming to, but transformed. We see conformed on one side of the word, and conformed on one side, transformed on the other side. Be transformed into the image of Christ. That brings us to the next part of verse 2. It reads, to be transformed by the newing of your mind. Transformed means to change the very nature or change the heart of who we are. Transformation requires daily, active renewal of our minds. Transformation can only be done through the power of Christ. Being transformed is the process of being changed from the inside out. Like we said, it needs to be active and living. Being transformed means you need to have the power to resist being conformed. Our minds need to be renewed and plugged into God so that we can discern or test what the will of God is in our lives. Our minds need to be renewed through the truth of God's word, his presence in our lives, and by his Spirit. We read in Ephesians 4:23, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and the holiness of the truth. Discernment requires knowledge and is active. We need to be plugged into him to be able to discern or prove his will. God uses his Spirit within us and his word being poured into us to renew our minds. I have understood this personally. I've thought in the past, I'm a Christian, this seems right, this has got to be the way, but not spend any time even praying about or spending time with him. Another example is in my relationship with my wife. The more I hang out with her, the more I get to know her, the stronger our marriage is. Same thing, the more we're in his word, the more we're praying, surrounding our people, like people here, the stronger our relationships with him, and the more we can discern and test what is put before us, our thoughts, our mind, our actions, if they're of God and they're pleasing to him, which in turn is our spiritual worship. We all know we need something, intellectual of how we know we need Christ. But it is not until we've renewed our minds and given ourselves back to him to begin to have spiritual worship. And discernment requires constant testing. Verse 2 ends with, that is good and acceptable and perfect. We see that the word is acceptable is used again. God is who determines what is good and acceptable. So as we end, we need to understand that as Christians, he died for us, accepted us, and we have been accepted into his family, even if we are born-again Christians, but we are called to so much more. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Father, we thank you that we have this body of believers that we can be with, that we can learn with. Father, we thank you for that you are the God through the whole Bible, that you constantly using words like therefore and accepted and good. We thank you that you have taught us through mistakes of past Christians and mistakes of our own and worked us closer to through redemption, to the application and peace. Father, we ask that you would help us to examine our lives and that we would immerse ourselves in you, immerse ourselves in the Bible, that we can grow and that we could look at our actions and our thoughts and determine whether they are from you or if this move or action or job or whatever the case may be is truly from you. Father, we need to be tied into you to understand when it is you speaking to us. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for everything you've given us. We thank you for the time to worship. Father, we ask now that you'd go with us today.